Welcome back to this special series of Farmers Inside Track, where we're exploring the Autumn 2025 APSA AgriTrends Report. In today's episode, we have APSA's agricultural economists Marlene Lowe, Kinsani Mashimbi and Zama Sangweni joining Food for Mzansi co-founder Ivor Price to break down the recent shifts in global grain and oilseed markets. With prices falling, what does the future hold for South African farmers? Let's dive into the insights and strategies that could shape your next move.
Against the backdrop of the APSA AgriTrends Autumn Edition just released, grain and oilseed markets have been on a downward trend globally. And this obviously raises big questions for farmers and agribusinesses in South Africa. We've witnessed some unique dynamics at play in this country. But what does the future hold? And I'm going to ask you to dive into some of the key trends currently shaping the market and what they mean for the next months ahead. Dan, Zama, I think we'll start with you. What's driving the global price drop?
I'm not going to mention all of them because that means people wouldn't read the actual publication.
And the publication can, of course, be downloaded virtually if you want the full report. Eh?
Yes, but just to touch on what's been happening with dynamics in China. So we have seen weakening demand and you can consider that China is actually a big economic player, especially in agricultural imports. So we have seen a weakening demand from China. And if I speak a little bit to soybeans, we've seen global increases in soybean production, specifically from Brazil. And that has actually moved China's demand from USA. They previously import from the USA and purchase more Brazilian soybeans. It's a price point conversation. It's just cheaper to import from there. So I think one of the dynamics is your biggest importer of grains and oilseeds is actually seeing lower demands. And what that does for prices is that it puts them under pressure. We've seen the impact on CBOT grain prices. And this is a negative, obviously, for the USA because they used to be a big exporter for China. And then it's sort of like Brazil is coming in as a major competitor. So I think that it sours up the trade war even further if you're considering what's happening between China and the USA.
And another word that Donald Trump doesn't want to hear is Brazil, eh?
Yeah.
And BRICS. Yeah. So global grain and oilseed prices have been in a slump, and I'm wondering if this is linked to oversupply, lower demand, or perhaps something else.
So I think it's a couple of factors. So global oversupply and lower demand from China. Kens, you're the grain expert. Maybe you should add all in here.
We've also, like you mentioned, increased competition. So in the case of wheat, it's interesting because we have big players such as Russia and the EU's production actually was impacted by weather. So it went down. But Russia specifically for the past two seasons has been an aggressive player in the market, really challenging the seaborne prices. It was really competitively priced. So we saw demand shifting more to Russia, which also impacted the wheat prices trajectory. So they went down. So we see increased competition. I think on a macroeconomic side to note is that they have relatively weaker currencies. Mm-hmm. So it makes their produce a bit cheaper. And we also saw production recoveries. So linked very closely to the past seasons that we went through with the multi-year La Nina. So it impacts different production regions differently. So what we saw initially were big concerns for some of our producers in the Northern Hemisphere, coating quality issues. So that drove prices together with that demand that Zama alluded to. But then now with when the weather dynamics changed and crop conditions improved, demand in China is low. So there are multiple dynamics playing to that downward trend. And we'll unpack a little bit more of what that means. What's that?
For a moment there, I thought you were talking about weed prices. And not wheat.
I have a strong accent.
Cannabis, of course, being a very increasingly important agricultural commodity in this country, you know. You just have to listen to President Cyril Ramaphosa's solo.
It.
So which markets are then feeling the biggest impact, Kenzie Zama?
So what bring it closer to home, because that's what I monitor closely. For other commodities, not maize, that was it saw other trends playing in, but wheat has been unable to go beyond a certain point. Soybeans have also been limited upward scope because of that production. So global trends all around are being felt that, you know, prices are lower, and we do feel it at bringing it closer to home. But the dynamics are a bit different for maize, and I can unpack that as you go.
I'm not an agricultural economist, but to me it sounds that like South Africa was rather insulated in 2024, somewhat shielded from this global trend, if I'm interpreting you correctly. Mm-hmm. Kenzie, I'm wondering if we could unpack this a little bit. What were the key factors that kept our local prices so stable?
So in the case of maize, what came into play was what was happening within the region. So we experienced drought induced by El Nino. That was a very busy time in my life in terms of risk reports and really monitoring the developments in that end. So what happened there is that production decreased substantially, not to a large extent in South Africa, but to in the regional context. So we saw Zambia, which is a maize exporter most of the time, shifting to becoming an importer because their production went down 50%. This last happened, they were last a net importer in 2004.
Sure.
So that's how serious it is. And then we also saw Zimbabwe, whose production was even worse, worsely impacted. I think more than 60% of their production went down, and this extended to all our neighboring countries. So our production was about 22% down overall. But looking at consumption and production, we could manage given the stocks. But we are an open market, and unlike our neighbors, we didn't interfere in the pricing. So in the trade. So we saw high demand within the regional context that drove prices significantly higher despite the global downturn. So that's what impacted the higher prices.
Marlene, what's your view on where the prices are heading for grains and oilseeds?
Yeah, so I think it touches on what Kenzie just explained. You need to take a regional perspective there. So if you consider maize specifically, we are all very glad we are experiencing a La Nina event. Mm. So I think the crop estimates is just below 40 million tons for maize, which is a good recovery. 14, 1-4. So which is a good recovery from what we've seen last year or the previous season. But really regionally, given the demand and what we would need to replenish our stocks, we don't see prices going all the way down to export parity. So if you consider a year-on-year movement, we're not expecting massive decreases. So unfortunately, feed prices will probably still remain high, at least for the first part of the year. As we kind of get to grips with how big this crop will actually be, and get a sense of what the weather prospects would be for the 2025-26 season, fingers crossed, La Nina, then we can see we see some good downward scope. But for now, Keynes, you're closer to the actual price points, but I think our average for the year for
2025, I think it's around
4,100 for yellow maize.
Yeah.
So comparing closely to what we saw a year ago.
Yeah.
What are the factors driving prices in the next few months? Is it just weather? What else?
Yeah, so the size of the current crop, I think that is still a big unknown. We planted late. I'm actually now stealing Kenzie's story. But we kind of missed that optimal planting window. And as a result of that, yields could be somewhat lower than average, long-term average yields. And then I think another potential risk is early frost, because we planted lower, which could also weigh on yields. So there's still an unknown in terms of the direction of short-term prices.
But globally, we are seeing a weaker demand for maize. There's also a weaker demand for soybeans, while wheat consumption is still strong. Kenzie, what's driving this?
An added element there is stockpiling for food security. So we see countries such as Morocco that have been impacted by weather dynamics, stockpiling wheat, and also India not exporting as much in the global market. So we see that food security coming in to stockpile. So what we noted in global demand and supply figures is that the demand has outpaced the production, not the total supply, the production figure. So what that does is that it puts pressure on the stock component, which has gone down for the past 2 years. So that will definitely be a price driver going forward.
South African farmers listening to you right now might wonder, what does it mean for me? You know, what's in it for me? How will it affect local prices and production decisions?
Sure. Yeah, those are conversations that have been going on, Marlene. I think you and one of our colleagues, on some of our colleagues in the Western Cape, monitoring production dynamics on that front. So there are areas, maybe to just take it a step back. So predominantly, the bulk of wheat is supplied or is produced from the Western Cape and the Swartland area, which produces on average maybe 50 to 75% of the produce from that area, has persistently seen lower yields. So over the, I think, 2-3 seasons. So that has put pressure on their margins. So it's a conversation that needs to be had, price to be had. Both quality and prices need to go up for sustainability of that production in the Western Cape. So I think at the moment, because we are a net importer of wheat, we are at the mercy of global prices and the exchange rate dynamics that Marlene alluded to earlier.
Thanks to APSA's Marlene Lowe, Kensani Mashimbi, Zama Sangweni and Ira Price for that insightful session on grain and oilseed markets. To get the full picture, don't forget to download the entire APSA AgriTrends Autumn 2025 report for free, of course, at foodformzanzi.co.za/AgriTrends. Stay tuned for more deep dives in this special series.